When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is a show about a dean that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up to Pastor Phil Greendale with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way. Community building is here.
Yeah, that's right, everybody. It's community building here on Post Show Recaps, talking season 2, episode 18 of Community, Custody Law and Eastern European Democracy. Hello, everybody. I am Josh Wiggler, joined here, as always, by someone who I would trust to raise my child, potentially. Touchdown Tommy, our guest. Unbelievable. Tommy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so caught off guard, but luckily I am not without a butter knife in case the podcast gets a little wobbly.
Yeah.
I saw some things. I don't have a saw, but I do have a butter knife.
The podcast gets very wobbly quite often, such as the fact that I introduced our guest before our co-host, Jess Sterling.
Hit me with your genie bottle.
Hit me with your genie bottle. Well, that's what we're doing here today as we are talking about Community Season 2, Episode 18, Custody Law and Eastern European Democracy. First of all, Jess, how you doing?
Wonderful. I'm so happy to be here. I'm so happy Tommy's here. We clapped like 10 times before the podcast started, so my hands hurt a little bit. But like, yeah. I feel like that's going to make the podcast better.
Yeah, sometimes for people, of course, if you're a patron of Post Show Recaps, you have access to episodes of Community Building a couple of days earlier than anybody else has it. And additionally, you can watch us record Community Building live if you are a patron of Post Show Recaps. Sign up, patreon.com/postshowrecaps. We would love to have you as part of our community. But if you are one of the patrons who are watching us live, Tommy, the patrons would have witnessed us severely mutilating our hands in the run-up to this podcast because we wanted to synchronize, and we got caught in a round of, what was it, 4 different rounds of clapping?
It was a lot of clapping. I'm trying to think what the, like, what's too much clapping?
I think 4 claps was
4
too much.
Too much. I think 5 for me. Like, I could go one more, you know?
Do you want to go one more? Should we clap for the actual podcast real quick? Just so everybody kind of knows what it is we're talking about. I mean, like, hearing is believing, right?
Yeah, it's almost like a teaser for, like, what you get when you get that.
Yeah. Note. There's a really great recurring bit, and this is not a joke. We actually do this basically every single time where we try to clap and synchronize, and people like to grade our claps. Why don't we give people a little taste behind the curtain? Jess, this episode of Community is not very good, so we may as well do something fun, right?
It's like an average episode.
It's fine,
sure,
right?
Sure.
It's fine. Let's All clap. Right. So I'll count us in. Okay. I'll do a 3-2-1 clap. I already did this for 2 claps previously. They were harshly graded. Jess then led one, and Tommy led one, and we're kind of all over the map. I think, Jess, yours was probably the best. Jess, if you want to count us in, then I actually am totally fine for you to do
so
it.
Much pressure. Okay, let's hope I don't knock my mic over like I'm apt to do.
All right, and
pressure.
I would say clap a little bit away from the microphone so as not to blow out the audio
Fair.
On the podcast.
Fair.
Give people a little bit of time maybe to lower the volume. Yeah, just
lower
a
the
smidge.
Volume.
Or even you could skip 30 seconds at this point. We will have clapped at that point.
Yep.
All right, okay. That's your warning. Here we go.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
I don't think it was particularly good on my end.
It wasn't terrible. I feel like I had to hesitate longer because you all's like your hands were like so far apart.
Pretty far apart. And also we are getting perfect marks. 10 out of 10.
You saved it for the pod.
We do so well under pressure.
A 10 out of 10, a 5 out of 5 from Will and Jank. Perfect, beautiful. These are the remarks that we are getting in response to the clap. An 8.5 out of 10 from April, but that's okay. We'll take the 8.5. We've got to have something aspirational. I believe it was AJ Norris, right, who said that we have to shoot. We need some room before we're elite, Jess, is where we are at. Yeah. So that's what you get when you're a patron of Post Show Recaps. You get to be part of the pre-show. And here's a little bit of the pre-show coming in to the proper community building podcast. Tommy, it's great to have you here. I'm so excited that you're here. Tommy, tell all the people who've never heard you on community building before who you are and what you do and all the things.
Hey, I'm Tommy. Touchdown Tommy in some parts. Tough Lips Tommy in other parts.
And that's it. Those are the only names.
That's it. If you call me anything else, it's disrespectful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm like around in PSR. I do the DMing as a lot of people do in the D&D part of the Discord. And
Tommy is intimately involved in the Dungeons and Dragons effort that we do here on Post Show Recaps for the patrons. If you want to have a really great experience of playing a game as run by Tommy, that's a thing you can do as well. If you sign up patreon.com/postshowrecaps.
Exactly. And other than that, I'm just excited to be here. I've been loving listening to you guys with community building. Community fan, not from the beginning, though. I was not a day one star. I did this thing a lot in this time of my life where I would not watch shows. And then I would come in and I would watch the finale of a lot of shows. Some of these are going to, I can say some. I know one is going to upset Josh. I did do it with Lost. I haven't went back and watched any of the rest. As a kid, it was on the TV. I was like, okay, and I watched it.
You haven't rewatched Lost?
I haven't yet. I need to.
That's okay. That's all right. When you do it, you'll have a 5,000-hour podcast accompaniment in the form of Down the Hatch. So you'll be able to do that whenever you choose to go back.
Yeah, but Community was one of those I did and then decided to actually go back and watch the show after.
How was the rewatch experience on Community for you?
I've been enjoying it. You know, obviously I think with everyone else, there's certain seasons I like a lot better than other seasons. But I think for me, it's just like, it's fun to just see a bunch of people and kind of be like, man, you all kind of suck. My life is way better.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes that's the vibe, Jess. And I think to it's some like, extent, like that family. Might be a little bit of the vibe of this episode.
Yeah, it's like a family. Like, sometimes you're toxic for each other. Sometimes you bring out the best in each other. You can't always have it, you know, the best.
And I do want to dial it back because I don't think that this episode is necessarily like a massively toxic episode among the study group. Maybe the biggest crime the study group commits in this episode is evidenced in the post-credit scene where they're all just on their phones doing nothing, which I thought was hilarious, by the way. I thought that was great. I think that kind of sums up the episode, though, to a certain extent, right? It's a little bit of a, as the great mixmaster Mike Bloom might say, a bit of a nothing burger, this episode of Community. I feel like it just kind of exists.
I guess I just like it more than like, I don't know. We'll see like when we get to my rating of it. I think it's like an average episode. Like I don't see this being worse than a lot of other episodes.
It was fine.
It's very Chang heavy, which is probably the biggest insult I could give it.
I actually thought that was great.
I knew you would. But I will say that like we gotta point out here, this is like a fantastic Britta episode. Like Britta is Britta-ing real hard in this episode.
She Britta's very hard as she embarks on a very, very brief relationship with Luca is his name. Luca. Is that right? Luca, the war criminal.
He's terrible, but it's amazing.
Who is played by actor Enver Gojak. I'm going to mispronounce his last name, but he played a great character on the short-lived science fiction series Dollhouse. He was also an Agent Carter, but it's his Dollhouse character where he played, I believe his name was Victor, and got to play a bunch of different types of characters because the premise of Dollhouse was they were the people who were part of this Dollhouse program could be programmed to have different personalities all the time. So he got to play like a lot of different types of people and really showed off his range. I thought he was one of the best characters on that show when I watched it. And so anytime I see him pop up in anything, I think it's great to see him. And then I was sad to find out, Tommy, that he's a war criminal now.
Yeah, I think you can still support the actor, but not Luca, because yeah, he like did some bad stuff.
Yeah, he was pretty gleeful about it too. He's like, yeah, I burned the children in the forest, and I missed the smell. You know, it's pretty dark.
Yeah, like, you know, Luca, no, bad Luca.
Bad Luca.
Yeah.
You should do that.
You missed the smell of the villages burning.
I thought that he was really funny though in this. I thought that he was great. I thought Britta was very good as well. Shirley has one moment in this episode specifically that had me howling. It's like, you're not gonna make a pregnant woman run after you. You're not gonna make a pregnant woman walk the distance between us right now. Really, really killed me. So a good Shirley episode as well. I think mercifully minimal amounts of Pierce, though the Pierce that we do get sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess maybe your tolerance of this episode depends on how much you tolerate Chang. What do you think about Chang, Tommy, before we embark on this episode? You got strong Chang takes?
I like Chang. Listen, I know he goes places. We won't get into that. But if we're basing on the Chang we're seeing so far, he's not that bad.
Yeah.
Especially not as bad as Pierce. It's always my stance. Pierce, then maybe Chang. Just right there. But I don't know. I liked him in this episode in the sense that, like, if you think about it, he's just trying to be a part. He's trying to be responsible if you're really thinking about it. He just goes about it a really bad.
He kidnapped children,
Tom. He did abduct children.
He's trying to be responsible.
But if Shirley didn't push him away so much, I'm not trying to play.
Tommy!
Let me pull that back.
So that was Touchdown Tommy, folks. We had a great time on the podcast.
You don't find tough lips, Tommy, for nothing.
Those lips will say some harsh things.
Yeah, they really will. Right. He's got tough truths. Uh-huh. Yeah, he does abduct children. He gets the wrong children as well, and that's not great. Mm-hmm. Though I don't think any version of abducting children would have been great. But he's very funny while he does all of it. And so I think that is under consideration for me, as I am going to just say that my score for Chang is currently up for grabs. Jess, I'd like to give you the opportunity to argue against Chang in this episode before I give my final Meow Meow Bean score for Chang.
I look forward to it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's talk about this episode of Community, which already in my memory is improving from my harsh words earlier. In the podcast. So season 2, episode 18, Custody Law and Eastern European Democracy. Jess, much like Corey B, it is time for you to take it away.
Yeah, so director is Anthony Russo. So it has that going for it. We got a Russo brother on the board.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dan Harmon and Andy Babrow.
Babrow. Yeah, which is like a thing that you say when like you had like a big success. You're like, Babrow, I did it. Right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Like you just score the winning touchdown. You're just like, Babrow.
Or you had a 5 out of 5 clap on your fifth try.
I viewed it as more like a noise, you know, like a Babrow.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Like a was guitar. That a cat?
I don't know.
Yeah. You say it to cats when they walk by. You go, Babrow.
It's like some onomatopoeia. The Babrow.
Yeah, I love
like,
an onomatopoeia.
Yeah. I don't know what it's onomatopoeia for.
I don't know. But something out there.
Yeah.
So we're in the study room. Shirley's having a baby shower. Annie got Shirley both a black baby doll and a very nice letter from the manufacturer promising to expand their selection as Shirley sits next to both Chang and Andre and awkwardly opens gifts.
Yeah, because we are... We still don't know who's the dad at this point.
Nope. Shirley says, regardless of any biological happenstance, Andre and her will be raising the baby. And Chang says this will be the creepy uncle.
Yeah.
Yep.
I feel like Chang would be a great uncle. He'd get you into all sorts of hijinks as a kid.
I don't know that I would trust Chang alone with children.
Yeah, he would be the babysitter.
Yeah.
To babysit you. Like, it's like someone would have to monitor Chang.
I think that this is the question, though. Are we talking about you are, you know, Chang is your uncle, or you are like the parent of the child that Chang is uncling? because I think the answer to whether or not Chang would be a great uncle differs depending on those two positions. I think if I'm being uncled by Chang, I think Chang's great. I love Uncle Chang. I love hanging out with Uncle Chang. I think if it's my child who's being uncled by Chang, I think I'm concerned about Uncle Chang.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the move.
Yeah.
But I do think every kid needs a creepy uncle in their life in some degree, right?
To some degree.
I had an uncle who would only come once a year and just always give a sack of Jawia coins. Just like that was his thing. He would just show up and he'd be like, here's the sack of Jawia coins. And he'd leave. And we knew what his role was in our lives.
So specific.
Yeah.
Every yeah. time, to a T, would hand us a sack of Jawia coins.
Where are the coins now, Tommy?
Oh, definitely spent them. Like, yeah. I was a kid with money. Yeah.
I had an uncle that sort of, I have an uncle that when I was growing up, anytime someone would call the house, it didn't matter who had been calling initially. If I picked up the phone, it would be my uncle. So it's kind of like Agent Smith or like the agents in the Matrix that they could just like turn into whoever they want to be inside of the Matrix. Anytime I picked up the phone, if it was my house phone was ringing, I'd be like, oh, it's my uncle. I know it's my uncle. And it's like, why would the uncle be calling? It's like, because I'm about to pick up the phone. And I would pick up the phone and he would talk to me for a half hour. It'd be him every time. Every time. If I picked up the phone in my house, it was always my uncle.
Just don't pick up the phone.
Yeah, well, I tried to not pick up the phone. And then I'd be like, ah, it's been about a year since I picked up the phone. I should. And then it was my uncle. Pick up the phone. Every time. Every time.
Wow.
And I love my uncle, but God, it was a nightmare. Because he talked to me for a very long time. Yeah. Like, I'm in a loop.
So Abed and Troy.
I don't know how we get off from that. But
I'm just gonna move on.
Yeah.
Abed and Troy got them water for when their child is the lone scavenger in the nuclear wasteland. Clean water will be worth its weight in gold.
That sounds right. I believe that it will be a very precious resource in these end times.
Yep. Pierce is offensive. They've traded out certain words for other Pierce's more offensive sayings. He's terrible and we hate him. And it's lucky he's not around that much in this episode.
Yeah. I'm not really here for it this week. Not that I'm ever like really here for it with Pierce, but the fact that this is all the Pierce we get in the episode and it's just like old racist says old racist stuff.
Yep.
Like you could miss me with Pierce completely this week.
Yep. And get slightly praised for it. It's like, oh, well, at least he's not as bad as he usually is. It's like, it's still not good.
Yeah, man. And Annie doesn't really have anything else she does in this episode other than kind of praise Pierce for being halfway racist. So I feel like I'm going to have to give Annie a fairly significant demerit
as well.
Well,
she does do other things. She gets Shirley presents and she makes Malipap, or however you pronounce that.
I guess.
The porridge she makes. Anyway.
Sure. I don't know if the porridge is enough to counterbalance the casual acceptance of Pierce's casual racism. But
that's fair. She got him to say Jewish people instead of other things.
I guess.
Really self-interested, I guess.
I suppose.
So Chang got Shirley a present. It's a cigar cutter, a Maxim magazine, and hot sauce packaged in a pizza box.
Yeah. The theme is stuff from Jeff's apartment.
Yeah.
It's just stuff that he found lying around.
Yep. Dean is here with a ni hao.
Always
dressed up for the occasion.
I don't know what Dean thinks is going on here, Tommy, but Dean is just coming in with big Dean energy right away.
Big Dean energy. And then, like, we talk about this porridge. Like, I got to knock the Dean. Use a chip, my dude. Like, he sticks his full fingers into this stuff. Yeah.
No one else can use it now. A single finger, a double finger.
Yeah.
Yeah, just some sort of dipping apparatus that's not your hands. Even a Sacagawea coin, like Tommy's uncle could have given to the
Dean. No, coins are dirty. Don't eat with them.
Oh, that also would be bad. Yep. Yeah.
Chocolate coins?
Yes. Oh, my God. Get some gelt in the mix. That would be fine. I'd be good with that.
But you can't do this at an event. If I went to a party, especially nowadays, and just did this, I'd be kicked out of the party.
Yeah, you'd be rightly like chased out of whichever social scene you were in forever, that you weren't allowed back in. You're gone from that bubble. And I think that the bubble would be right to burst you from it.
Yeah.
You can't
especially if I talk about rubbing it on my thighs. Like,
yeah. You can't just get handfuls of dip anymore. Not that you really ever could. Your dippy thighs. Yeah.
Dippy thighs, Tommy. Is that the
yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
so-
next.
Britta asks Troy and Abed about their new friend Luca, and Troy says Britta isn't allowed to bone him because because he has an accent, he rolls his own cigarettes, and he plays the same video games as us. We like him a lot.
Because Britta ruins all of the boys that Abed and Troy enjoy, and so they're really concerned that she's going to ruin Luca for them.
Yep, they're right.
Yeah, well, arguably, Luca ruins Luca.
Luca's the worst.
Yeah.
And the Dean is just he's going ham on the dip.
Loves it.
Dipping his fingers in. It's great.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if he missed breakfast or what.
It's going to go straight to his thighs.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sure is.
One way or another.
Yeah.
In Abed's dorm room, Troy, Abed, and Luke are playing video games. And Luca's just like, oh, you're Britta, like Britney Spears.
Britta, like Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Hit me with your genie's bottle. Rub it all over me.
The best part is she gets like less confident on the second line. Like she knows that she's getting it wrong. So she's like,
it's like she mixed like Christina Aguilera with Britney Spears somehow and made it into a song that doesn't exist.
Yeah. But she's in too deep. She has to commit to the song.
She's committed. And mm-hmm. So Luca has to leave. He's making Podvrock.
Yeah.
And he says he can make it for Britta sometime. So Britta gives Luca her number and Troy and Abed just start screaming.
Yeah, they are upset. They don't love this.
Yeah. They say Britta's going to ruin Luca. Britta, you date guys we think are cool. And when you decide you don't like them anymore, you tell us horrible things about them that we can never unhear.
Yeah.
Jeff Nippleplay
Winger. There's a lot about Jeff's nips in this episode. We've learned so much information.
Yeah. Is it? Oh, it is his nips.
Yeah.
I read this as something else.
Yeah.
But interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to know anything about Jeff's nipples.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. No, and this is a true thing. Like, I feel like friends do get the more you know about some people and their dating lives, you don't want to. Don't go there.
Yeah.
So Abed offers Britta a sweatshirt he made in honor of paintball. She doesn't date Luca. It says it's all downhill from here on the
mm-hmm.
back.
Mm-hmm. It's not good. It's not good.
And then Britta's like, you know what? I kicked your asses at paintball. Pew, 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 pew.
Yeah.
I love Britta.
I like that this is sort of setting up that we're going to return to paintball to a certain degree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. I think that's good. But she should have gotten the sweatshirt sooner. I do
agree. It's rude that they just are giving it to him now.
It is rude. It's very rude.
Yep. So she leaves. Troy and Abed are just like, they can't stop talking about what was that? What was hit my genie
hit
bottle?
Hit my genie bottle. Yeah.
Such good Troy and Abed scenes in here. Like just them bantering with each other is like anytime I'll take that in an episode.
Yeah. Who is genie bottle? So back at school, Shirley needs Jeff's help to extricate Chang from this situation, to basically get Chang to forfeit his rights to the baby in case he's the dad.
Yeah.
She just wants him to be completely taken out of the equation here, Jess.
Yep. And Jeff, it's because Chang is living with Jeff. He has a rapport with Jeff. Just like, don't poke that bear. Right now you got it good. You know, don't make him think about this too much. And Shirley's just like, what, you want me to not worry about that? And we just see Chang like literally chasing his backpack straps like a dog would chase its tail.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff's like, all right, fine. Like, point taken. I get it.
Yeah. That guy needs help and probably shouldn't be around babies.
Probably not.
But there is something to what Jeff's saying of like, he is, if you get him flustered, Chang's way worse. He's like a bomb. If you don't touch it, it's just there.
Yeah.
But the minute you're like interacting with it, now it might go off, I guess is my thing. And like, I feel like Shirley does poke the bear a little bit here. And we see what happens when Chang decides to try to fix things.
Yeah, it doesn't go great. Is how it goes. It goes poorly.
Yeah,
he saws your table into. At a certain point, it's just going to be a tabletop flat on the ground, was where I was thinking it was going to go.
I've definitely had that moment, though, where it's like, where you try to stick something underneath the table to fix it, and then it seems like it's now more wobbly, and you're like, what, yeah. What did I just do?
And so then you break out your dozen saws, and you go to town.
Yeah.
So back in Luca's dorm.
And then everyone in town is like, why do you have a dozen saws?
Exactly.
You only needed the one.
Although, like, there are different saws.
It's like, also, I may need a backup saw.
Yeah, there's a table saw. There's, like, a handsaw.
There's my copy of the Saw movie.
There's a seesaw. Exactly.
Yeah, there's a seesaw.
Britta and Luca are making out. She asks Luca not to tell Troy and Abed that they've been hanging out. And Luca says he can keep a secret. He's from the Balkans.
Yeah, don't worry. I can keep a secret.
There was pain in there.
Yeah,
I've so
killed
much
so many
killing.
People.
The corpse is stacked like firewood. Mm-hmm. The river is red with their blood. I miss it so much.
Oh my God. And she's like, wait, can you clarify what you mean?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, no, I loved the killing. I miss the killing. I miss the smells of the villages burning. I miss the way they used to run from our tanks in fear. Luca, no! Yeah.
And then Luca's like, oh, this stupid idiot neighbor of mine. He always plays the trumpet and ruins the mood.
Perfect. So cartoony, but absolutely perfect. Hilarious. So yeah, Luca's a bad guy.
Mm-hmm. Just run out of there at that point.
Luca high on the list, Tommy, of the worst people we've met in community, I think, considering the actual people that he murdered.
Yeah, and I feel like this, like, her not telling, like, Troy and Abed, she should tell everyone. She should go to the dean. Like, I don't think this guy should be in the school.
Yeah. I think like a little bit of the taking matters into her own hands that happens here should probably involve some measure of authorities rather than freelancing on this one. Like the Luca bit of him being an actual literal war criminal maybe rates a little higher than just like study group justice. Just a thought.
You know, next time, Britta, maybe go find an adult.
It's just a thought.
So meanwhile, in Jeff's apartment, Chang sawed a leg down on Jeff's coffee table instead of looking for a job. And now it's extra wobbly.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeff confiscates the saw and gives him paperwork. He says, sign this. And Chang's like, you're adopting me? When Jeff says, tells him to sign away his parental rights, and Chang immediately starts crying. He wonders if this will be his last chance. I don't chang a lot of chicks, you know.
He thinks this is it.
It's the only time to have a kid.
Yeah, Chang's clock is ticking, and time may be running out, Tommy. Mm-hmm. For
poor Chang. That's all I got. Poor Chang. You know, he just wants to support a child. That's honorable, right, guys?
Maybe he should get a job or not like. As wild as he is, saw people's coffee tables.
Maybe he's practicing so he can become a construction worker and get a job.
It's possible that, he's doing like some light apprenticing right now. But that he gets that idea. He's like, what if I got a job in my own place? And so Jeff's like, oh, yeah. And so that you'll leave? Then, I think that might work. I think that might convince Shirley to have you be a part of her life. And so he's like, all right. Yeah, let's do it. And then he has another saw.
Where do you keep getting these?
Yeah, where do you keep getting these saws?
It was in the couch. You could have seriously hurt somebody. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he really could have. All right, well, we'll get into the rest of the episode in a minute. Let's throw it to commercial real quick. When we come back, we will find out what happens when Chang decides to grow up and become a dad. Stay tuned.
So, in the cafeteria, Britta asks Troy what Troy and Abed are doing. They're getting a lot of fork foods to play a video game marathon. They got to keep those puppies safe.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to get them all greasy.
Fork food is what? Is that like a spaghetti?
Mac and cheese.
A mac and cheese.
Soup. It's a spoon food, I guess.
Come on. So glad you self-corrected. Whew. Crisis averted.
Technically, you could use a spork to eat
we
soup.
Could have done a tight 45 on just unironically suggesting a fork for a soup. Thank God we didn't go there.
It sounds like a punishment on like a game show or something. Like, try to eat this soup as quickly as you can with a fork.
Yeah. Can I drink the bowl? No.
You can eat a lot of things with a fork. Like, if you got a sandwich and you cut it into smaller pieces, you could eat it with a fork.
Why would you ever do that?
Because you're playing a video game and you don't want to get the controller all messy.
You don't eat a sandwich.
Well, what if you really want a sandwich? You know,
well, if it's a sloppy sandwich, I guess I kind of
like
understand.
A meatball sub?
Yeah, cool fork, okay. Yeah, you need a fork. All right. Well, I think you want a fork on standby, at least. I think maybe you want to give it like the college try of eating it with your hands first, but then obviously like there's going to be residual elements of the sandwich that falls down into whatever your sandwich collecting apparatus is, be it a plate or some foil. And I do think that you want a fork to collect that stuff at the end.
You also want something that's going to keep like decently well over like a half an hour, because like you usually like eat, set down, play video game, pick back up, eat when you pop. You know what I mean? Like, you need something that's going to be good for a while.
What would be your video game fork food, Tommy? Go.
See, I feel like I would just do regular food, but just with a fork, right? Like chicken fingers. You could eat that with a hand, but
that's
if I'm
a good
video
one.
Games, I just stab it.
I don't know why. I mean, they're called chicken fingers. The implication is that you're picking them up with your fingers.
Look at the nugs.
You could just stab it.
Yeah.
And it's a very French easy thing. You lift it up, you bite it.
French fries. Sometimes I will eat ice cream with a fork when I'm out of spoons, because it's like it does the same job. Don't look. It just leaves little lines in the ice cream.
What
sometimes.
The hell is
I
happening
mean,
here?
It makes more sense than the soup to me.
I was talking about like what you can eat out of a bowl that you don't have to eat with your hands.
No, I'm convinced now. Jess definitely eats soup with a fork, and then I try to cover
for it. Because my hot take is I don't really like soup.
I thought you were gonna say I rarely eat soup with a fork. I still would have had to spend some time on. I think the fork on the ice cream can make some measures. You gotta go fast.
Yeah, you better be a fast eater.
You gotta be like Sonic, and you're eating that ice cream quick. Gotta go fast. Tommy, are you slow eating with the fork and the ice cream?
Well, yes, because I also like melty ice cream.
You're eating that with a fork?
Well, no, it's
Tommy,
super
we're
melty.
Doing the tight 45 on soup now, Tommy, because the ice cream has turned into one.
Ice cream.
And you're forking it.
What is it? You're fork and knifing it.
No, oh, it's like
God.
A...
He's fork and knifing it.
It's fork and knifing it.
I fork and knife ice cream.
Oh, my God. We're back to this.
Devastating.
Oh, it's like a good melt, like a 5-second melty ice cream where it's still got its integrity, but it's not like
it's still got its integrity.
Yeah, as long as we can respect it at the end of the day, like, that's important. Yeah.
Anyway, So anyway, they're gonna go play some video games with Luca, and Britt is like, "How much do you know about him?" And they're like, "You're dating him, aren't you?"
It's like, No.
Good, because Luke is going to teach us how to break the will of an entire village by killing their livestock and desecrating their places of worship.
No! Not good.
Yeah, not the livestock.
Not the livestock.
Who cares about the people? Not the livestock.
Not the livestock.
So Shirley and Andre call over Jeff. Jeff's like, "I gave my most convincing speech ever, and it didn't take."
Yeah.
Shirley's like, "He needs to sign the contract." But Andre is like on the opposite side. He's like, "You know, we can handle whatever comes our way."
Andre's great in this episode. I imagine it's going to be a pretty clean Dean sweep for Andre here this week.
He's wonderful. He takes Chang in stride, although I do disagree with Andre at a point later in this episode, but we'll get there.
Okay.
Chang approaches looking like Mr. Rogers with a pipe.
Yeah.
Did you see the stock
market
today?
Won't you Chang my neighbor? He's got the pipe. He's got the cardigan. He's got the glasses. Mm-hmm. What is this? Bye bye birdie? Is it the 1950s?
Yeah, Chang.
Yeah. Yeah, hey. Right?
Chang, Chang.
Yeah. I'm a dad now, hey? Yeah.
Did you see the stock market today? Up, down, pick a direction, huh?
Now, who wants to break and build a birdhouse? I think that Daddy Chang is hysterical. The vibe is remarkable to me. I think it's very, very, very funny. He's like, "I got a baby coming. I got to grow up and be a dad."
Yeah, I can almost hear the pitter-patter of little Chinese feet across the treetops.
Yeah, and this is Shirley's sure like, Jeff, this is your doing. And Jeff tries to bolt. He literally tries to run. And that's when Shirley comes after him. I know you're not going to make a pregnant woman run. And so Jeff stops. And they're still like probably like 10 feet away from each other. I know you're not going to make a pregnant woman walk that distance between us. Hilarious. Shirley's amazing.
So good.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, really great. So Shirley's really mad that Jeff is trying to use this as like another Jeff Winger opportunity. As effectively like this is the moment to get Chang out of my apartment. She's not thrilled about it, but Jeff's kind of, I don't know, he's Jeffing it.
That's always Jeff's thing, right? Like, it's like, if he can find an opportunity to benefit himself, he's going to. And that's, I think you mentioned before, it's like, it feels like, especially this season, we're like back and forth with Jeff. It's like he goes 2 steps forward and like 20 steps back. And it's like, man, where are you going?
Yeah. He's not great here. Shirley's like, he's unhinged. Like, you do something about this. Right. I'm not going to make a pregnant woman storm off.
And yeah. So Jeff has to walk off.
Yeah. Yep.
Jeff's turn to leave.
Yep. Then back at Abed's apartment, Luca lets Troy and Abed know they get extra points if they kill villagers.
No. Oh no. British shows up. Hey everyone, I'm just here to get my Trekkies do it in the Final Frontier hat. They're like, that's not your hat. I'm pretty sure it's my hat.
Yep.
Pretty sure it's my hat. And she's just like trying to, you know, see what she could do to break this up because this is bad.
They just set fire to a farmer's market.
Oh no.
And this is when, so Britta goes to leave. Luca notices Kick Puncher 3, the final kickening. And he asks to borrow it, but Abed said he has a strict no lending DVD policy, thanks to guys like Pierce who kept writing this side up on all my tips.
Yeah. Well, just don't lend to Pierce anymore.
Yeah. Tommy, do you have a strict no lending policy, or are you up to lend people things?
It depends on the thing. There's like, I think it's one of those things, if someone, you know, that saying, shame on, fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice, shame on you. It's like, if I lend you something and you mess up, that's it. Cause like, I like my stuff, you know, I just picked it out. Mm-hmm. I went to the farmer's market before the fires happened picked out the nice thing. Why would you just take it from me?
Yeah.
Fair.
I'll lend stuff. And I'll lend stuff with the expectation of never seeing it again.
But I'll always resent the person if I never see it again.
I'll never forget. And I'll carry it to my grave.
Mm-hmm.
I hate when you lend something and then you do ask about it. And they're like, oh, I never borrowed that. And it's like, you did. I know you did. Like,
yeah. Oh, you lied to me.
I have a book that's still out there somewhere. And that friend still is convinced they don't have it. I'm like, I know
who they are.
I know you have it. I know you have it. Are you returners?
I'm not usually a borrower.
Mm. Tommy, you return things?
Yeah, like I don't like that. Even money, like I immediately pay. I don't like to feel like because of that same feeling, I don't like to feel
like being indebted.
Yeah.
I'm like that too.
Yeah.
Like my brother and I are complete opposites. And whenever we go to my parents' house for dinner, they'll like give us leftovers. And my mom always gives us, you know, like a little Tupperware thing and it has some leftovers in it, you know?
Yeah.
As soon as we eat it at my house, we wash the dish and we put it in a little pile so that next time we see my parents, we bring it back. I'm not kidding. The size of the bag that my brother brought of all my mom's leftovers dishes that he had been hoarding for like 6 months. Ridiculous. There are two types of people in this world. One who returns leftover dishes right away and one who hoards them for 6 months.
Yeah, that sounds accurate. We don't need to get into, was it a soup? And
did I eat it with a fork?
Yeah, what was the intent of you?
Yeah, so Abed falls under the they're dead to me forever pool of things here. Mm-hmm. And Luca's like, oh, maybe we can watch it together. And Bruno, maybe we do.
Maybe we do. Britta is terrific in this episode. Are you a Britta fan, Tommy? You like Britta generally?
I enjoy Britta, but I definitely like it's hard for me because cringe is hard for me. That's always something I'm like, oh, I don't want to look. And Britta is just so cringy all the time that it's like I appreciate how well she does it, but it makes me want to not watch her because of how well she's being cringy.
I understand this.
Yeah.
I get that. I get the vibe. I totally do.
Yep. Yep. So Abed's like, please leave.
Yeah. Please so leave. She does. She yep. does. But she has an idea now. Yep. Unfortunately, her idea will be filmed.
It's really bad. It's really bad. Meanwhile, in the student lounge, Chang's polishing a sneaker. And Audrey comes over and offers him some advice. Chang takes his pipe out.
What's it's on your mind, neighbor? Yeah. My God. Just relax a little bit, Chang.
Imagine if he actually became a daddy. Like, he just kept doing this bit for life. Like, he just became Daddy Chang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Terrifying.
We get a little bit of a glimpse of what actual Daddy Chang might be like in a moment here. As Andre's trying to give him some advice of, like, when you're a parent, like, you know, it's not how you act. It's what you do. Like, you have to be there for them when they're sick. You have to be there for them when they're, you know, in trouble. And Chang's like, I'm there for people. I do stuff. Look at the aluminum siding on the pool table as this poor passerby is just like raked across it.
And then Chang's gone. And then yeah. he leaves.
I got nervous. It's like, get that person a tetanus shot stat. Like, that does not seem like a safe thing to be stabbed by.
Yep.
Not that you really want to get stabbed by anything, but I feel like I don't want to
a foam needle is fine.
That's like not really a stabbing. I mean, if you've been stabbed by a foam noodle, then I think that you are contending with a very strong person who perhaps has superhuman ability.
I suppose it's more like a poking.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm trying to think, like, maybe a toothpick stabbed by a toothpick isn't too bad. That's like, oh,
what if it
okay.
breaks off and then it's like,
oh,
in you.
No. No, I have a new fear. Thanks,
yeah.
Jess.
Yeah.
I need to stop catastrophe.
And just as we were about to anoint him toothpick Tommy. Alas.
So in the study room, Abed tells Britta his Kick Puncher 3 DVD is missing.
Wait,
oh, that's awful.
That's the, oh, but Luca was, oh, you could, oh, but did he, Britta, we've got video footage.
Kick Muncher also, she calls.
Yeah. Kick Muncher, yes. Kick Muncher 3.
Yep.
At least you got the number right.
Yeah, and so they have video proof you. For taking it.
Because he has a documentary that he's making, he says, right? He has are we ever going to see what the security cam footage is for?
No. He's just filming. He's like, it's mostly just me looking at my own dailies.
Yeah, fair. That's fair.
And then they call Britta a monster. And Britta's like, Luke is a war criminal.
I'm not
criminal.
The monster. Luke is the monster. He's a war criminal. And what war is he a criminal? The battle for our affection? Troy's best line of the episode for me, for sure.
Yeah.
What war are you talking about?
He's so much worse than Tall Kyle.
Who's Tall Kyle?
One of the other guys that Britta kept, like, they were friends with, and Britta told them something about Tall Kyle.
Did we ever meet Tall Kyle?
No. Tommy, what did Britta find out about Tall Kyle? Like, if you had to think of what Britta would find out about Tall Kyle and tell Troy and Abed.
Stuffed his shoes with newspapers. He wasn't really tall.
I literally was going to say, like, he has tiny feet or something. Like, yeah. Someone named Tall Kyle, it's definitely the feet that he's insecure about.
Yeah. Fair. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, very tall, but if you look at the feet, they are, like, you know.
Dainty.
Yeah. Dainty feet.
He's just walking around these tiny little baby feet. Like a giraffe. He's got hooves more than feet. Can you imagine that? Can you visualize that?
It's just one foot.
Yeah.
Just I wish
clump,
I couldn't.
Clump, clump, clump. Yeah. How's that for onomatopoeia?
I'm literally just picturing it in my head now. Yeah. Like, I can't stop. It's just the legs I'm seeing, too. It's like just the clomping.
Stomping around on those giraffe legs. Brapow, brapow.
Yeah. Well, brapow.
Yeah, that's the sound of it.
Brapow.
Yeah, brabrow, brabrow. That's
the noise. Oh, brow. That's right. Brow. Yeah. Back in Jeff's apartment, Jeff enters as Chang and two kids are singing. Chang says he picked up Shirley's kids from school and he's helping them with their Spanish homework. He's trying to prove he's a responsible dad.
He abducted humans. He abducted people. He kidnapped people.
Yeah. He's like, Chang, you're never going to be anything. You know, I'm not going to trust you. Call Shirley, beg for forgiveness. I'm taking them home. But they aren't Shirley's kids.
Yeah, they aren't. And so he leaves with them. Jeff leaves with the kids. And then Chang, I love this so much. Chang calls the cops. How much do you pay for anonymous tips on kidnapping? And then there's no answer because he's on the other side of the phone. Just saying, all right, fine. This one's on me. It's just so good. It's just such a good line. Chang. He's so ridiculous.
All right, so I can't defend the fact that King kidnapped children.
Good.
It's not great.
Can't or won't?
Both.
Yeah, yeah.
Not great is all I'll say. This is the one, but at least he does it with funny.
Yeah, you know? he does it with style.
Yeah, that's what you can say about Chang. He may go far, but at least he does it with pizzazz.
Yeah, yeah, he does. I laughed very hard at this, Jess. I have to tell you, the Chang napping. Yeah.
Like, here's the thing. This isn't, like, the worst version of Chang. Like, I have to admit, like, he's not full-blown unbearable yet. Especially because we haven't seen a lot of him more recently.
Yeah, it's our first time seeing him in, what, 2 episodes?
So I'm saying, like, having him be the main focal point of an episode doesn't bother me as much. And a lot of this stuff is on the funnier side. Like, the what's up, neighbor? And like the stock market up, down, pick a direction. Like that stuff does make me laugh. So like a lot of the me hating.
Also,
on
when
James
he's gonna crawl through like the shaft, like the ventilator shaft. Like he's ridiculous. He's such a cartoon character.
Yeah.
He's just I think that Chang is hysterical in this episode. Generally, I think Chang is pretty funny, but in this episode, I just think that Ken Jeong just does such a funny job with the character, and him as a performer, you know, does a lot of work for me in feeling better about what Chang does. Whereas like, it's hard for me to like separate, like, you know, Pierce being awful often feels like Chevy Chase being awful. Chang being awful for me never feels like Ken Jeong being awful. You know, I think it always feels like the performer doing a really good job playing an awful nightmare person. So I'm always able to like separate that. And I think sometimes my fondness for the character is my appreciation of the performance. And this episode is definitely in that school. I think he's just very funny this time.
Yeah. And I do think like, I may be wrong. I think this is probably so far the farthest we've seen Chang go as like the in extreme. I think this is probably the worst thing he's done so far. Unless you guys can think of anything else.
He kidnapped kids.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, kidnapping
and,
kids.
And he gets worse is the bad thing, Josh. Like, this is not the worst thing he will do.
But, Josh, we're in the present right now.
Yeah.
Things are looking, things are changed.
Yeah. You know, I understand that things may change, but right now, I'm fine. I'm good. Mm-hmm. I think this is funny. I think this is mostly great.
You know? So Jeff gets arrested. he's released with his keys, wallet, and his pasties.
Yeah.
Oop, nipple guards that are for running.
Big nips episode for Jeff Winger.
A lot of nips.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. And Shirley and Andre come in and they ask if he's okay. And Jeff apologizes for trying to capitalize on her situation. She says she forgives him. And we see Chang getting arrested.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, can't arrest me. And then he like recognizes him. He's like, hey, what's up? How's it going? Yeah. It's been a minute.
Yeah. We find out that Laquanda, who is the mother of the kids, isn't pressing charges on Jeff, but Shirley talked her into going after Chang for child endangerment. He could get 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, and Jeff is like, what are you doing? 3 to 5 years? That's crazy. We could get him a life sentence.
Yeah, if I attest to him trying to sell the kids,
yeah,
it's trafficking. And Andre, this is where I disagree with Andre. Andre's like, why are we going to do this to Chang? It's like, because he kidnapped children, Andre. Because he's a danger to society, Andre.
Yeah. Yeah. But
also, that's why we're doing this.
The glee with which they are conspiring to throw the book at Chang is probably just a tough instinct as a person, I think. You know, maybe like dial it back a bit.
It felt back to like season 1 where we saw like them gossiping, you know, on their way, on their walks, right?
That.
Like that, yeah. it did feel a little, I agree with you, Jess, like something, he should get some slap, like he should get some punishment, right? He did kidnap children, but I do, for me, it was like the, like almost like getting a joy out of punishment. It's like, we can get him life sentence. Mwahahaha. That's how it felt.
So I'm not saying give him a life sentence and make up he was going to traffic the children, but like at least something.
Yeah. He needed a slap on the wrist. He needed to be like, hey, this is not okay.
But I understand where Shirley's coming from. She wants everything to be perfect, and Andre has to talk her down. He says, that's what you wanted the first time around. You did everything in your power to make everything perfect, and look what happened. And I love how Shirley is immediately like, are you blaming this on me?
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, no. I was a coward. But while I was gone, you learned to accept the bad with the good. And Jeff's like, it's the Greendale effect.
Yeah, that's the Greendale effect. You lower your standards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Andre says that locking Chang up only makes prison crazier.
Yeah, having Chang in jail is maybe bad for jail. And jail get much worse.
Yeah. Do you think Chang like runs the jail? I could see like Chang like creating some sort of like power structure where he's on top of jail.
Yes. Yes.
Definitely.
Yes. I don't love this if Chang, I'm very nervous of what Chang behind bars looks like for any extended period of time.
Yeah.
Frightening prospect.
Yeah. So then they talk, it was like that movie. We learned that in the movie we saw with all those dinosaurs, Jurassic Park. No, it's complicated. That's a great joke.
Wow.
And then Chang just pops out of the vents as he's wont to do.
No, you can't take me away. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah.
Seeing him just like crawling through on all fours, destroyed me. I thought that was hilarious.
Yep. So then we're back in the study hall. Abed and Troy approach Britta. They say they asked Luca about his time in the army.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to be able to get those images out of my head. If never. I ever go to the Balkans, I'm bringing some serious cheat codes and walkthroughs.
Yes. Yeah, they feel bad about their participation in hanging out with Luca. And they're going to go easier on Britta as long as they promise not to tell them any details about guys she's dating unless they've committed genocide or if they're left-handed. Abed needs that for the chart that he's making. Any left-handies on the line? Yep, Tommy.
I am left-handed.
An iconic reversal of an iconic line from film. I am not left-handed. It's from The Princess Bride. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm right-handed.
I am too.
Most, you know, I have four brothers. All of them right-handed. I'm the only left-handed in my family.
You're special then.
That's what they try to tell me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Britt is just like, I'm a ruiner.
No,
and they're
you're
like,
not
no,
a
you're
ruiner.
Not.
Come
Watch
hang out.
With us.
Oh, you mean the one with the... Which I won't spoil just in case someone missed the episode.
Yeah, don't spoil it.
And doesn't know what catfishing is, Tommy. Let's not tell everybody, right? You know,
we
on the end of the movie.
We don't want to be ruiners because like then it's this whole circle and then
and then we get the after credit scene where, like you were saying before, Josh, Jeff's on his cell phone, Annie's on her laptop, no one's talking, they're all just like doing their own thing. Abby watch, that was fun.
I think it's cute. You're both behind. I'm ahead.
It's boring.
But that's the point. I think it's fun. It's just like a little slice of life.
Yeah, it felt to me like the writers were like, we didn't think of one this week. Can you guys just sit there for a while and then we'll just, that's what we'll film.
I guess my threshold is pretty low in terms of what I think is funny and what's not with these scenes. But was it even last week on the podcast? It was recently on the podcast. I know we were having a conversation about what about a community episode where they actually just study, where they actually just, you know, sit.
Oh, and, we did. Yeah.
You know, and so this was actually
they
that.
Were studying. They
no,
were just
but they were just
phone.
Doing their own thing, you know, just goofing off and not really hanging out. I don't know. For a post-credit scene, I think it was funny. But that's all right. It's behind. We don't have a lot of behinds. I'm not furious with this being a streets behind, ultimately. All right, let's get to some F community feedback. Eric writes in, where does kidnapping children rank on the list of the worst things Chang has done? So far, number one. Question for Tommy and Jess, without spoiling what's ahead, where would you rank Chang kidnapping children on the all-time list? And don't tell me what is ahead of it if you say that there's things ahead of it, but like how many spots, I guess, is my question, if you could ballpark it.
I'd say it's definitely in the top five, but it's definitely getting moved down.
I think it's like
top three, top two. There's definitely at least one thing above it, two probably.
Okay
Yep.
I feel like I could deal with that though. I feel like I could deal with that.
It's not necessarily like the specific acts he does. It's more of like a series of events.
Oh no.
It's a lot.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yana writes in, this is the lowest rated episode of the season on IMDb, but I think it's far from the worst. The reason for the bad reviews is mostly the deliberately over-the-top Balkan stereotype or flipped stereotype. But besides that, the episode is really quite funny with a lot of quick jokes. My favorite being Abed's lament that his extreme documentary is mostly him watching dailies. I don't know that I have this as my lowest ranked episode of the season. I would imagine not. I got to take a quick gander of my season two ratings. No, I don't.
You have two others lower than it. Yeah. One for the joke of it being a 2.14 for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, I do think like calling this an average episode for me feels right. Mm-hmm. Jank says, ultimately a mostly forgettable episode, but I think this is some of the best Britta in the show. It's also one of the better Chang episodes. The stock market line is a favorite of mine and perfectly applicable to the Wario Casino. That's really, really funny. Totally agreed. All right, meow meows. Let's do the meow meow beans. I will go first. I gave Pierce a 1. He shows up, so I won't give him a full bagel. But yeah, he sucks in the one scene that he's in. Giving Annie a 2. She's not really in the episode, and I don't love her role in the Pierce stuff, so I'll just give her a 2. I feel like I'm low on Troy and Abed. I gave them each a 3. I just thought it was kind of like a very average Troy and Abed episode. Ultimately, they're just so funny most of the time that I feel like I'm always giving them such high marks. And I think I wanted to give them a little bit lower so I could give higher marks to a couple of the other people, such as Jeff, who I give a 3.5. I think that Jeff has some funny wingerisms in this episode. And he's involved in a scene that I really, really enjoyed with Shirley, who I gave a 4.5 due to that hallway line, which I thought was really, really, really funny. Just her role in the episode. And I always love a good Shirley storyline. Gave Britta 4.5. I thought this was very, very strong Britta content as well. I think her desperation to demystify Luca for Troy and Abed was a noble effort. And I also thought her ruining Catfish was pretty funny as well. I'm going to give Chang the full 5. I'm doing it. I'm giving Chang the full 5, especially if, you know, we got to like kind of like acknowledge the episodes where he's like really pretty funny and great. I'm going to give him full 5 if I think he's the funniest person in the episode. And I do think he's the funniest part of the episode for me. So those are my meow meows. I don't think I had anything in relitigating the Chang stuff to convince me otherwise than thinking that Ken Jeong is really, really good as Chang in this episode. So I'm giving Chang a 5. Those are my meow meow beans. Tommy, what are your meow meow beans telling you to do?
Yeah, very similar to you with especially these lower ones. Pierce is a 1. Yeah, when he was there, but not great. Even when they just mentioned him, it wasn't a great line. Not great, yeah. Pierce.
Yeah.
I got Annie at a 2.5. Similar thing when she was there, it was a lot tied into the Pierce side of things. And then we really didn't see much of her, otherwise. So I had her at 2.5. Then I have Abin and Troy at a 3. I have Jeff at a 3. I didn't love Jeff. I think like for me, I get really frustrated with like him constantly making the wrong decision, but then he like, by the end of the episode, you know, it's sitcoms, but by the end of the episode, he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. But then he does the same thing again. And it's just like, all right, Jeff, you deserve a punishment.
Yeah.
You get a 3. Abed Troy got 3.5s. I thought they were fun. The Balkan stuff was fun, but more for Britta. I think Britta was the one that like held that for me. They were fun because they're just Abed and Troy, and like anything they say is really funny. I have Shirley at a 4. I think the hallway line was great. I had a couple of issues with just like how much she was trying to just push Chang out. Obviously, that's not to say what Chang did was right, but I did deduct a little bit for that. Chang, I have it at 4. I think a lot of his lines really hit for me. I think, like you said, the vent stuff was so funny.
Really. I caught Chang venting. Yeah. Chang is sus. Chang is sus.
Chang is so sus.
Yeah. Always sus.
He's senior Chang, and he's so sus.
Yeah. The sawing the table also was so... He also tried to saw the floor. I think that was also very quickly mentioned.
Sawing the floor was a great touch as well. Yeah.
So I have a 4, though. Like, deducted 1 point for kidnapping. That's a 3 to 5 years punishment. He gets 1 point deducted.
I think that that's very generous of you, Tommy. Yeah, I think so.
And then I got Britta at the top with a 4.5. Very funny Britta episode. I think this is like peak Britta
Yep.
of it all.
Mm-hmm. All right. Jess.
Yeah, I'm similar to the both of you. Pierce is at a one. He's barely there. When he is, he's not great. Annie and Jeff both at threes. I gave Annie a little bit more credit just because I thought like the gifts were very cute for Shirley. Like she's trying. Jeff is just like typical Jeff doing his Jeff thing. He has some funny stuff, but he's just, he's season one Jeff again, and we're in season two now.
Sure.
We have Troy and Abed at a 3.5, similar to what Tommy said. Like, I think like they're naturally very funny. They're naturally probably going to get over a 2.5 most episodes. Chang, I gave a 4. I think like he deserves the 4. The Mr. Rogers bit was very funny. The Saw stuff doesn't make me laugh as much as like the Mr. Rogers stuff. The stock market up, down, pick a direction. just is very funny. So
just
he does
get him
a
talking about
me.
The weather of the stock market. It's currently heat wave, baby. Actually, what is the weather of the casino at the moment in time?
Oh, I thought you meant the actual stock market. And I was like, really?
No, it's just a normal sunny day.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Normal weather.
Shirley got a 4.5. The you're not gonna make a pregnant woman run, are you? Kills me. If I'm Shirley, I'm doing the same exact thing she's doing. I'm literally like the same exact thing. Like, get this wild man away from me. Like, please lock him up, make him go away. So she gets a 4.5 from me. I love Shirley in this episode. And yeah, I love her and Andre specifically. And so I think that like she definitely gets bumped up because of that, because I think like I don't know. Like, I love their relationship. I think like they've grown a ton since where we first saw her in season one. And so I think that them together bumps her up a little bit as well. And then Britta gets the full 5. This is like Britta in her natural habitat. She's Britta-ing everything. Hit my genie bottle, rub it all over me. Will not ever not make me laugh.
Yeah,
like,
it is great.
So funny.
Yeah.
The kick muncher, like just the fact that she just sucks sometimes is so great and wonderful, and I love how she's like, I'm a ruiner. I just love her so much.
And
so
I don't think that it doesn't feel mean, you know. This is stuff where you're saying like sometimes Britta sucks, and like I think that that's right, and sometimes it feels like the show can be really mean about it, and I know
and
it's gonna get worse.
Yeah, and this is not one of those
this
moments
doesn't
where
feel
it feels
mean.
Like they're being mean. Yeah,
it feels like giving Gillian Jacobs fun stuff to do.
Exactly. I love Britta so much. I think she like she's often not talked about as being one of the best characters, and she has some of I think the hardest material to work with, where she's supposed to be someone you're kind of like, oh my god, Britta, like, oh, Britta's in this, but like you still like love her deep down, and so it's really hard for you for someone to play a character like that, and so I just appreciate her a lot. So she gets a 5 from me. So we haven't had any movement yet again in our meow meow. It's like we're staying
pretty
consistent
steady
here. Mm-hmm. Troy is like running away with it. For those who want to know numbers, Troy is at 235 at number one. Second best is Abed with 213.5. And obviously all the way at the bottom is Chang with a 143.
Yeah.
I had hope that Annie might be come in second, but she's now 4.5 points behind Abed. So I don't know if it's possible anymore.
These are series wide totals, right? These are
this,
cumulative.
No, this
or
is
season
wide total. I can, I figured at the end of the season, we'll talk series wide totals, but yeah, this is just for the season.
I was trying to do math on the podcast and I thought I would ask out loud.
No, math is bad.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I regret
the numbers are bad.
Immediately. They are.
Moving on to our Dean's list. We are all simpatico here.
Yeah. Clean sweep Andre. For Andre.
Yeah.
I was tempted to give it to Luca because I love the actor, but I don't think that I'm going to give it to someone who committed genocide.
That's the problem, right?
Yeah. I think I'll stop short of that. Yeah. I don't think we give it to that guy, but I thought that he was really funny. I did think Luca was a very funny character. Funniest war criminal I've seen in quite some time.
And fun fact, for the second time, Andre has swept the Dean's List category when he's been in an episode. So he is now in second place for the Dean's List with 6 points.
Hey, do we see more Andre this season?
Yes.
Ooh, okay. We got a shot here.
There is a so you're saying there's a chance.
There's a chance.
Listen, the Dean might come back if he stops putting porridge everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Rubs it all on his thighs.
Like, yeah. Can we like demerit him?
Yeah.
No.
We should demerit him for that. All right. So let's rate the episode as well. I am higher on this one than I was on a few others over the course of season two thus far. But it's outside of the threes, pretty obviously for me, considering some of the much stronger episodes of the show that we've gotten so far this season. I'm going to say it's about as funny as what I put for Asian population studies. So I'll just give it the same score. It's a 2.9. So just on the outside of a 3. I feel like, you know, the fact that this is just fine in what has otherwise been a really strong season of Community for me. And I know generally accepted that way, widely accepted, in fact, as, you know, if not the best season, certainly one of the two. So I just feel like there's not a lot of room for an episode that's just fine. So I'll give it a 2.9. I could be lower on it. Maybe it could be a scooch higher, but I'll stay with the 2.9.
Yeah, I gave it a 2.7. Similar feelings. I just feel like this one is like, it's an average episode of Community, which, as we've said, is better than a lot of average episodes of television. So I still think it's very funny. I absolutely love the Britta aspect of this episode. I think because of the fact that Chang is not my favorite, the fact that it is so Chang-centered on the other side, it kind of brings it down a little bit for me. But I think that maybe if, like, the Britta side had like a little bit funnier Troy and Abed content, maybe it would bring it up a little bit, because they have funny content, but it's not like the best. And then, of course, you know, we barely see Annie in this episode. Like, it is an ensemble crew, and when it's so hyper focused on like a select few characters, that kind of breaks it down. Obviously the repeat of Jeff acting like his season one self brings it down as well, but still a solid episode. It just doesn't compare to the rest of season two, so it's getting a 2.7.
yeah,
from me. What about you, Tommy?
Yeah, I'm like right with you guys. I'm with Josh with a 2.9. Same kind of things. I definitely remember this episode. Like, I was like, you know, it is the episode Chang kidnaps kids. Like, I remember that. but I do find that
not a great reputation on.
No,
on this
but I do find that both plots were kind of like B plots for me. I think they had a strong A. Maybe this goes up, but it almost feels like they took two Bs and mashed them together instead of like an A fair. And a B.
Yeah.
Yep, so the audience is a little bit lower than us at a 2.54, which brings our current average to a 2.76, placing this one in 16th place out of 18 episodes.
Okay,
so
we think that you feel that that's right, Jess, the third worst of season two so far?
I think so. I think, like, look at the top 10, look at the top 10 of this season, right? They're all such solid episodes. Yep. I mean, even a 2.76, that's still a great rating, but it just has such hard competition to go up against. Like, I agree with this. I like The Psychology of Letting Go better, which is above this. Celebrity Pharmacology is better, which is above this. I think this is about right for this episode.
All right. So that is episode 18 of season 2, Custody Law and Eastern European Democracy.
The name is terrible. The name is absolutely horrific.
Well, I think that, to Tommy's point, right, Tommy, I think that, like, they are putting instead of getting rid of the B, they put two B's together. They put two B storylines together. Yeah. You know, that's not a class you take, Custody Law and Eastern European
Learning.
Democracy. Yeah. but that's the episode. Tommy, what a delight. I would clap and applaud you, but I feel like we've clapped enough.
You know, when you hit perfection, you just can't clap.
I don't think we should do it again. Mm-hmm. But I imagine me applauding you right now, Tommy, and all the listeners as well. Remind everybody where they can find you, what you got going on, how can people find you on the internet?
Yeah, I'm out there. You can find me always in the Discord. I'm hanging out. Look up Tough Lips. You'll see me. I'm there.
Don't Google it, but you can safely look it up in the Discord.
Yeah, safely in the Discord.
Yep. Yep.
You can find me on Twitter if you ever want to talk to me. Tommy's Tidbits. You know, get a tidbit of information on my tweets. And then otherwise, I also do a podcast. I do Stark Wars is the name of my podcast. We cover Marvel and Star Wars content. So once you get your feel over here, then you come to us and we'll do the shenanigans like, what's it like to really date a Jawa, right? Like, the questions I want to ask.
These are important questions. Very furry, I hear.
Very furry.
Yeah. I don't know that I want to know more, but also I feel like I am obligated to find out more.
Yeah, same boat. It's I guess I have to do my reporting duty, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So check all of that out if you need more Star Wars and Marvel coverage. Jess, you know what I'm going to ask. You may as well just answer it.
So the 90s have been
teaching me... I was
going to
ask you what kind of shit the 90s is talking.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Lately, we're covering Dawson's Creek. We're coming up on the end of season 3.
Of how many seasons of Dawson's?
6. But we're in
halfway, baby.
We're almost halfway. And this is like such good stuff because we're in, friends, we're in the Jossie era. We're in the Jossie era.
What
stuff
is Jossie?
Joey and Casey.
Oh, I didn't know that that was the name.
That's what Sarah and I call them. I have no idea.
Where's the ah?
I don't know. It should be Josie, but we ended up on Jossie, and now we just do it. Ah.
Yeah.
And now we just do it. So
the lazy dinosaur.
Yeah. We're coming up. If you're drinking the Jossie juice, come to the party. We're covering Boy Meets World. We just had a special guest on that you both are very familiar with. His name is Mr. Kevin Mahadeo.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ooh. He joined us. It was lovely. That'll be coming out soon. So we talked about the big TGIF crossover when they had like Sabrina.
Oh yeah.
And DJ Tanner was on. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
And then this month we're covering the movie The Cutting Edge, because it's Olympic season. We know I don't know shit about sports. So We had to have someone come on who does.
You gotta learn.
Cody Patterson is coming on. Amazing. And then the one, the only amazing Sarah Carradine is coming on to talk strictly ballroom.
Incredible.
Because it's a rom-com type of month. So we got a lot going on. Beyond that, you can find me here at Post Show Recaps covering the Gilded Age with my friend Sarah. We're breaking all of that down. Watch that on HBO Max. Or HBO, I guess. But it's a lot of fun.
You can watch it on HBO Max as well.
Yeah, which I do.
Yeah, me too.
And yeah, and I think... Oh, and one other thing. Recently, Sarah and I were on the Brazilian Dragon podcast talking the Disney Channel original movie, Quince. One of my favorites as a child. Does it hold up? Listen and find out because It is an interesting movie.
All right. Okay. So that's where you can find Jess. You can also, of course, find her here on Community Building each and every week, including next week, which I am to understand shall bring yet another dungeon master from the Post Show Recaps patron Discord into our community building studio, Jess.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I ended up like trying to mark off my bingo card with like having every single DM on. I'm like pretty successful.
We're getting close. We're not all the way there, but we will achieve it.
I think
we'll have to have Melissa come back so that I can be on the podcast
exactly,
with her.
Exactly.
But we're working towards it.
But I will say, Josh, next episode, I expect you to absolutely love it. We're covering season 2, episode 19, Critical Film Studies.
Yes.
With the one, the only, the dulcet tones of the main man, DM Philly.
All right. It should be rich this episode. Mm-hmm. Very much looking forward. I've never tried that out for DM Philly. Oh, that's rich. Like anytime he's got
because
a really good line.
Because no one calls him that.
Yeah, but that'd be fun. It's just,
I've never called him rich.
If he says funny things next week on the podcast, I'm going to try and remember that I wanted to say, oh, that's rich.
Can I tell you that I've typed Philly so many times apparently now that my phone autocorrects Foley to Philly?
That's great.
Josh, it may work if you like hand him a sack of Juya coin as you're saying, like, oh, that's rich.
Yeah, now you're rich.
Now you're rich. Yeah. Amazing. That's a good idea, Tommy. I like that. I'm going to take that. All right. So we've got more movie stuff, Critical Film Studies next week with DM Philly. I'm excited about this. Tommy, thank you so much. This was such a blast. Had a really, really great time. Jess, wonderful as always. And yeah, I guess this is the part where I say, Corey B, take us away.
This is a show about a dean that started to grow a community. Wiggler and Jess, here till it ends. Meet up to pass or fail, dream deal with all of our friends. The brightest timeline's here to shine the way.